Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be giving you some really, really simple tips on how you can improve your mobility through most exercises in a matter of seconds. How does that sound? I've hooked you, haven't I? I've hooked you. Everyone wants to be more mobile. Everyone wants to move for a bigger range of movement. No one wants to end up being that sort of awkward bodybuilder, powerlifter kind of guy who looks as stiff as a board with imaginary lat syndrome and struggles to tie his shoes. Like, you and I want to retain a little bit of our mobility. We don't need to be doing any Cirque du Soleil stuff. We're probably not super worried about doing the splits, but being able to take exercises for a big range of movement is probably not a bad idea. You don't have to do it all the time, but every now and again, certainly my training and the training I write for my clients, I like to have people go through quite big ranges of movement. I think it's probably not a bad idea. The bonus of this is that it eradicates the need to do most forms of stretching and traditional mobility work. So if you find yourself stretching before and after a session, or you know, in the evenings every now and again, and foam rolling and all that sort of stuff, if you train with mobility in mind some of the time, then I promise you, you can ditch all that, which is fantastic because that's one fewer thing that you have to worry about doing every week. You can worry about getting strong. You can worry about getting fit. You can worry about putting on some muscle, feeling awesome, and you can ditch all of the stretching and mobility training if you'd like. You want to keep in? Cool. I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't have it in, but if you're lazy like me, you can do it through your strength training. Like I said, I'm going to be giving you some tips that you can implement straight away that is going to help you take exercises through a bigger range of movement. Because in my experience, most people's quote unquote lack of mobility has less to do with their joints, their muscles, their level of flexibility, and more to do with their approach and their mindset and their technique when it comes to exercises. So let's jump in. When people want to improve their mobility, let's say you want to squat lower. That's a good example. We use squats. We're going to use squats a lot because everyone knows what a squat is. Everyone knows what a squat looks like. When most people want to improve their range of movement, they want to squat lower, and they don't want to add implements in. So, you know, you can raise your heels up. You can put weightlifting shoes on. But people don't want to do those things. They tend to grab a foam roller, grab a band, grab a lacrosse ball, and start stretching, mobilizing, doing soft tissue work. And look, in the short term, that does help things. If you foam roll a muscle, you'll get a bit more movement from it. It'll feel a bit better for, you know, 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. After that, the effect is gone. So it's a very short-term positive effect. It also takes time, though. You know, you might spend 5 minutes rolling one or two muscle groups. Sometimes people will reach for stretching. They'll stretch out their groin. They'll stretch out hip flexors and stuff. Again, not an issue if you want to do that. What people rarely do, though, and what you can do if you want to improve your mobility, is probably just approach the exercise a little bit differently. One of the reasons that people have issues squatting as low as they might like is that they've created these rules, or they've bought into these rules that restrict your movement. A lot of these rules stem from other sports, and the squat is a great example. When most of us learn to squat, we kind of learn the way old school powerlifters learn. We sit back on our heels, we take a wide stance, we shove our knees out as hard as we can, we keep our chest up, and we squat. And that is a really, really good way of removing variability, removing any sort of wiggle or movement. Because if you're a powerlifter, you're trying to break parallel with a bar on your back, lifting as much weight as possible. And so you want as little movement as possible. Anything extra you have to control is going to be work that you can't then put into moving the bar up and down. And so by jamming your knees out, by sitting back on your heels, by keeping your chest up, by locking everything and tensing it, you remove a lot of the options. It's very hard for your knees to start coming in if you're jamming them out to the side as hard as you can. It's very difficult for your hips to move underneath you if you're arching your back and sitting back. And so having these rules in place, having a technique like that, means that you can probably lift a little bit more weight. But because you've created so much tension, because you're bracing so hard, and because you're jamming everything to its end point, to its end range, and keeping it there, chances are it's probably going to make it a little bit more difficult to go through a bigger range of movement, because you've basically decided to perform the squat in a way that limits that. The goal with powerlifting is to lift as much weight as possible and break parallel in the squat. But you might squat for a different reason. And if you want to improve the range of movement in your squat, if you want to sit arse to grass, if you want to squat lower, if you want to take your knees and your hips for a bigger range of movement, which, by the way, absolutely, please do, then you're more likely to get there if you take these rules with a pinch of salt. So many times I've seen people in the gym that I've been coaching, that I work with online, squat lower by just not tensing and bracing so much. Because here's the thing. When you've got 300 kilos on your back, when you're an elite level powerlifter, it is really important to get everything locked in and braced as hard as you can, because you've got the weight of three large humans pressing down on your spine. If you're back squatting 300, 350, 400 kilos, if you've got the weight of a large family sitting on your back, then yeah, you're going to need to lock everything in. But you're not an elite level powerlifter. And if you are, you've come to the wrong place. You're not an elite level powerlifter. You're not trying to squat 300 kilos. You might try to be squat 60. You might try to be squatting 60, 80, 140, 180 kilos. Like, that's heavy and that's tough, but it's not almost half a ton. And that's fine. That's not to disparage you. It's just you don't need to be locking everything and bracing it. And so if we can remove that brace a little bit, it's probably going to give us a little bit more wiggle room. It's okay for your hips to move under load. You don't have to keep them, quote unquote, neutral. And it's all right for your back to move a little bit as well. We probably want to avoid the extreme ends. So we don't want you curled up into a ball at the bottom position of a squat. But if your hips and back move a little bit and allow you to squat a lot lower, there's probably nothing wrong with that. So long as, obviously, you follow basic, you know, programming, and you're increasing weight and sets and reps gradually over time. You don't start trying to go set a one rep max PB with a brand new technique, obviously. Your knees, your feet. If you are someone who typically jams your knees out as hard as you can and pushes the floor outwards with your feet, then stop. Just let yourself sit down, squat down. Your knees will move where they need to most of the time. If your knees come in ever so slightly, that's okay. And in actual fact, if you go and watch the people who squat best through the biggest ranges of movement, like Olympic weightlifters at a competition, watch what their knees do. Their knees come in. Again, I don't want your knees clapping together with 150 kilos on your back, but your knees coming inside the line of your toes from time to time is absolutely fine. And again, by removing that rule, that technique of jamming your knees out and spreading the floor, you give your body a bit more variability. It can do what it needs to do in order to squat lower. So like I said, the first thing that you can do to improve mobility through a lot of exercises is remove the rules that don't apply to you. You aren't a power lifter. Don't treat your back squat like an elite level powerlifter. Don't treat your split squat like an elite level powerlifter. I cannot tell you the number of people who struggle to do a split squat, you know, as in get their back knee to the floor, because they're bracing so hard and jamming their knee out as hard as they can. Then what I'll do is I'll have them stand on a 6 to 8 inch platform under each foot. So they've got a big gap underneath them. And I'll say, just relax your upper body and your core a little bit and just go as low as you can. And lo and behold, range of movement goes through the roof. Because if you're doing a split squat with 20 or 30 kilos in each hand, which is a lot of weight to move on one leg, you don't need to be rock solid bracing for it. So like I said, two big things. Ditch the rules that don't apply to you. You're not an elite level powerlifter. You don't have to take a super wide stance. You don't have to spread the floor. You don't have to jam your knees out. You don't have to keep your chest up. go and watch the people that squat through a huge range of movement, and you'll see they've got a lot of wiggle room, I guess, when it comes to the knees and the hips and all that sort of stuff. And number two, stop bracing so hard every time you do an exercise. You don't need to. You're not going to break or fall apart if you forget to brace and lock everything in every time you do an exercise. Yes, if you're going to set a one rep max and you strap your lifting belt on, I'm doing a demonstration in my garage of me putting on an imaginary non-existent weightlifting belt, just so in case you're wondering. You got your weightlifting belt on, you got your knee wraps on, you got your wrist wraps on, and I don't know who wears knee wraps to deadlift, but you get the point. Everything's locked in. Yeah. You're going to brace as hard as you can doing that. But if you're doing 10, 12 repetitions of a back squat and you brace super hard every single rep, chances are you're not going to achieve anything other than exhaust yourself super early. Like, how hard is it bracing? Like, it's tough. It's really tough. You're out of breath after the first 3 or 4 reps. No wonder you get exhausted doing a set of 8 or 10 or 12 repetitions if you brace super hard every single repetition. You can't even breathe. You take, hold your breath, lock everything in, and not only now are all your leg muscles working, but everything from the waist up is also working over time. Then you take a break at the top of the repetition, you take a few breaths, and all, lo and behold, 2.5 minutes have gone by and you're halfway through your set and you're absolutely exhausted. It's got nothing to do with your legs and everything to do with the fact that you're tensing every single muscle in your body to perform a repetition that you don't need to tense for, or you don't need to brace for. Especially upper body stuff. The number of people I see brace to do shoulder press when they're sitting down. You just don't need to. It's tiring you out, it's exhausting, and chances are it's limiting the range that you can take the exercise through. Now, if you're not interested in going through a big range of movement, that's fine. I'm not here to sell you on it. If you don't want to squat arse to grass, if you don't feel like it's something you need to do or you want to do, if you like going halfway down on a hack squat or a pendulum squat, then that's fine. That's up to you. But if, like me, you recognize that there's probably a good... you recognize that going through a big range movement is probably a good idea in the long run in some way, and that you might as well do it when you're strength training with some of your exercises, then take that approach. I'm not saying relax and go loosey-goosey, but just don't tense as hard. You don't need to. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's going to happen. You're not a fragile, delicate flower. You're not going to break and crumble. Human bodies are incredibly resilient. Incredibly resilient. You don't need to brace maximally for every single exercise. Pick and choose when you do. Don't become reliant upon it. The third thing you can do to improve your mobility is also pick exercises that are just a bit easier to crack on with right now. Again, we'll take the squat as an example. And I almost let this example slip about a minute ago. For some people, back squats are really, really awkward just because of the way people are built. If you have got a really short torso and really long legs, you might find back squatting really low, really difficult. So you can raise your heels up, or you can go with front squats, you can go with safety bar squats. But if you really, really, really want to take your knees to a big range of movement, you want to get as much bend in the knee as possible, then it might also be worth just picking an exercise that allows you to do that. I am yet to find anyone who, after a couple of goes, can't squat, quote unquote, squat, arse to grass on a hack squat. That's not to say that you won't find people who won't go arse to grass on a hack squat, because you'll find plenty of them. But I'm just saying, I haven't found anyone that cannot physically do it. They just choose not to. So if you've got access to a hack squat, to a pendulum squat at your gym, a belt squat, chances are you don't need to do any extra mobility work. You can just hop in that because you've got that padding around you. You don't have to stabilize anything because it's a machine. So that, you know, if you've got a bar on your back, it's going to go all over the place if you don't hold it in place. It's not going to happen with the machine. So you can jump into a hack squat, you can jump into a pendulum squat. And I promise you, if you take a little bit of time and play around with your stance and the foot plate, maybe you need a slightly wider foot position, maybe you need slightly narrower, maybe you have your toes dead square, maybe you have your toes pointing out slightly, I'm almost certain that you can get a crazy big range of movement. because even I can. Like, if you put me in bare feet and you ask me to do a squat, I'm barely going to get to parallel. It just doesn't happen. Now, when I squat, I usually use a safety bar or do a front squat, and I raise my heels, and so it's fine. Stick me in a hack squat or a pendulum squat, ask your ass. Do you know what happens, though? Or do you know what I don't do, I should say? I don't jam my knees out as hard as I can. I don't keep my pressure on my heels, and I don't brace my abs because I don't need to. I get more range of movement if I actually allow the pressure on my feet to go in ever so slightly. Imagine that. You get a lot of people telling you you need to push the floor outwards and spread the floor and push your knees out. I actually allow the pressure to come onto the inside of my foot, sorry, on my arches. I get crazy deep range of movement. I get an absolute crazy burn through my quadriceps. And my knees work in a super bendy position, which is probably not a bad idea from time to time. Don't have to do every exercise like that, but it's definitely worth doing something like that. So three main things for you to consider. If you want to take some of your exercises through a bigger range of movement, because you recognize that doing so is probably a good idea, because you don't want to end up looking and feeling like some jacked up bodybuilder or powerlifter walking around with imaginary lat syndromes who struggles to tie their shoelace, then chances are retaining a degree of flexibility and mobility is a good idea. We can recognize that. Don't have to do a ton of stretching though. You can do it in your exercises. And in order to do that, you can employ one, two, or all three of those tips at once. You can pick exercises that are easier to take certain joints and certain muscles through a big range of movement, and you can do them alongside your other exercises. You can stop trying to brace so damn hard every time you pick up a weight, unless it's obviously practical for that particular repetition, and you can take the rules you were given with certain exercises with a pinch of salt, because they might apply to an elite level powerlifter with a squat suit on and 400 kilos on their back, but they probably don't apply to you. So those are three really simple tips. Like I said, if you're not interested in improving your mobility, if you don't care, that's absolutely fine. I'm not here to convince you. Just wanted to drop by and give you those three tips, because I think a lot of the recommendations and suggestions when it comes to mobility simply center around the physical things you can do before and after training. It's about foam rolling. It's about stretching. It's about soft tissue work. It's about banded mobilizations and activations and this and that. And most of those have a very short-term impact. I personally would much rather make little adjustments to the way I'm performing an exercise and reap the rewards than spend 10, 15 minutes extra during my warm-up. And also, as a gentle reminder, if you can't do an exercise like a squat arse to grass right now, that's absolutely okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Everyone's built differently. People have different hip sockets. People have different skeleton structures. Other people have injuries. People have limitations. There's nothing wrong with you if you can't squat arse to grass. But what I do want to let you know is that if you do want to squat arse to grass, you probably can. You might need to get a bit creative. You might need to build up your strength. You might need to reduce the weight. That's another big one. You might need to reduce the weight initially so that you can get stronger in those lower positions, in those tougher positions. And you might need to raise your heels and you might need to adjust the bar. But I promise you, you could probably squat arse to grass. Can you do it in bare feet with a bar on the back of your shoulders? Maybe not. That's okay, because you don't have to. But I guarantee you, you almost certainly can squat arse to grass, or you can improve your range of movement, you can improve your mobility. Just leave the ego at the door. Take your time with an exercise, work your way up, and you'll get there. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm really biased. If a squat isn't arse to grass, I'm just not interested. I know squatting 200 kilos is very strong, it's very heavy. But if you only get into parallel, like, cool, that's cool. Show me an arse to grass squat though, where someone's bum literally sits on their heels with 100 kilos or 120 kilos. I think that's pretty awesome. Again, massively biased. Massively biased. Anyway, I'm going to shut up there. These episodes are normally meant to be 15 minutes and under, and I've rabbited on for 20. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, let me know. If there's a particular subject you'd like me to touch on, let me know. You can find me on Instagram, obviously. That's probably the best place, Aaron Davies Coaching, and I will catch you on the next one.